Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein, and today we're here with an Intel fellow, Rich Ulig. Rich, what do you do at Intel?
I serve as Intel's chief virtualization architect. So I develop architecture hardware assists that aid in virtualization and look both at CPU as an intercept as well as the rest of the platform. So try to take an overall system-wide view on how to improve virtualization in Intel platforms.
Tell me about how you view virtualization in the data center, where it is today, and you know where you envision it going.
I guess the place to start is to recognize a couple of properties of virtualization. The first one, which is kind of well understood, it's about being able to run multiple operating systems on the same physical platform. But there's another property of virtualization that's sometimes underappreciated, and it's the ability to encapsulate a running workload, an OS, and its applications in a manner that allows it to be migrated from one physical platform to another. And if we look at how virtualization has evolved over time, sort of the first uses were simple static consolidation. That's where we've increased CPU utilization rates, and it's been very effective as a technique in that regard. But as we go to exploiting the benefits of VM migration, it's a very powerful capability that allows the resources of a data center to be used more efficiently.
What's the role of hardware in virtualization in terms of what we are bringing to the platform to make this new capability happen?
Well, hardware plays a number of different roles. In the early days, our work with Intel VT, Intel Virtualization Technology, was simply to make it easier to virtualize our platforms. If you looked at the very earliest VMM implementations, they sort of had to jump through hoops in order to correctly virtualize our platforms. As we've developed and evolved VT over time, however, we get other benefits. There's performance benefits. A lot of the architecture we're bringing in VT eliminates the need to transition down into the VMM. We have a whole bag of different tricks that we apply to achieve that goal. But the net result is we do, in fact, reduce overheads of virtualization. And then finally, we're improving the functionality of virtualization solutions. If you look at some technologies like Intel VTD, we're able to support the assignment of I/O devices directly to guest OSs. That means that it becomes possible to exploit the full functionality, say, of a 3D graphics adapter to a guest OS. And that's something that wasn't possible prior to VT.
Tell us about how a handheld device would use virtualization.
Imagine you've got a handheld device that you want to use for your personal data management, but it's also the same device that you use for business purposes. Both you and, say, your IT organization are going to want separation of those two sets of data. With virtualization, you can start to bring both your corporate IT environment together with your personal environment onto the same device, and you can completely achieve that separation.
What do you see in the next 5 years for virtualization?
First of all, I think that we're going to see an increasing adoption of virtualization beyond servers. One of the new features in Windows 7 is the support for XP mode, which, if you look under the covers, is based on virtualization.
Sure.
You know, the use case here is you want to run your legacy Windows apps on the newer OS and not have to qualify it if you're an IT shop. But once the technology is in place, new uses become possible. I think one of the interesting areas in client virtualization is its intersection with security. One of the key techniques of security is to isolate bodies of software and data from one another so that you can implement security policy. And in the absence of virtualization, that's sometimes hard to do. But with virtualization, you can have much stronger mechanisms for isolating data and apps from one another. Incidentally, some of our initial thinking around how virtualization would actually be used in the early days is to improve security in clients.
What do you think virtualization's role is in the cloud? Is it really the foundational technology to making cloud services happen? Can you give us some perspective on that?
I mean, in my mind, virtualization and the goals of cloud are very tightly interrelated. I think everybody sees this. To the extent that cloud is a way of managing data center resources in a more flexible way, carving them up and dynamically allocating to different uses, virtualization is just a foundational, you know, capability to make that more efficient. I think what we'll see is, over time, additional layers of software needed above virtualization as the foundation to really make cloud work.
So you talked about client applications for virtualization. Are there other segments that are going to take advantage of this technology?
Real interesting areas in embedded platforms. There's some interesting work going on in the industry towards building multi-threaded VMMs that are able to host multiple single-threaded real-time software stacks on top of the embedded platform. And so that's a way to sort of bring together the benefits of, you know, multi-core platforms with the realities of legacy embedded software.
Very nice. Well, thank you very much, Rich, for being on the show. It's been a pleasure.
Sure. Thanks.